Her demo reel is diverse and powerful. Her many IMDb credits are impressive, and all just from the past 10 years, after a decade in theater. Today, Jacqueline talks with actress Sharon Lanier. They'll talk about the differences between working on stage and on camera, balancing family life with career, and being selective with roles and participating in projects that don't send harmful messages. But first, if you're finding this podcast helpful, take a moment to follow or subscribe so you don't miss an episode. And if you think others would be interested in listening, please rate and review to make it easier for others to find. You can leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or podchaser.com.
This is the Faith and Family Filmmakers Podcast, helping filmmakers who share a Christian worldview stay in touch, informed, and inspired.
Quiet on set. Rolling.
Your hosts, Jeffrey and Jacqueline Witt.
Welcome to the Faith and Family Filmmakers Podcast. My name is Jacqueline Witt, and today's guest is Sharon Lanier. Sharon has been involved in the entertainment industry for roughly 2 decades, participating in countless productions. She states, "It's been a great ride, but if God wasn't in it with me, this would all be for nothing." Whether directly or indirectly, she is in this business to lift up the name of Jesus. Welcome to the show, Sharon.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
So I'm excited to meet you because we've met in passing a few times, but I actually am excited that I get to have you to myself for a little while here and get to know you better.
Yes, yes.
Okay, so you're an actress, but like, how did that even get started? Were you always wanting to be an actress?
I'll try to make a long story short. So the first bug bit me when I was 9 years old. And what happened was I was in fourth grade. And my teacher, she was one of those teachers who like forced you to excel. So I never had a teacher like her before her. And so my school was having an oratorical contest, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s speech, that famous speech. They were doing a contest with that. So anybody in the school could learn it and perform it. I would have never done so. But my teacher said, "Oh, everybody in the whole entire class, we're going to learn this and you're going to do it in front of the class. And then if you choose to go to the competition, you can." I was like, okay. So I did it and I loved it. So I went ahead to do the competition, ended up winning first place. But there were a lot of older people in the audience who had been in that era. And I could remember the looks on their faces. And it hit me like, wow, you have the power to inspire and to encourage with your words on a stage. And so that was like the first moment where I was like, ooh, I think I might want to do this. So yeah, that's how it started.
Right. So did you get into professional acting as a child?
It's funny because I went around doing that speech to like churches and stuff. So I did that. But apart from that, I didn't do much. I was heavily involved in my church. So we would do like skits and stuff at church, but didn't really do too much. Took a couple of theater classes here and there, but I don't know. I was a brainiac. So I was trying to like stay on top of my studies and like taking college courses early and all that stuff. So I was like, when I go to college officially, that's where I'll study theater. And so that is exactly what I did. And so because I wasn't like as skilled, like I loved it, but I wasn't as skilled. When I auditioned for the Bachelor of Fine Arts program, I actually got turned down and was admitted into the Bachelor of Arts program, which is a more general theater degree. But I quickly learned that I was like, I'm not really getting very many acting courses in this program. Like, I can't just stay here and actually really excel. So the next year I was like, you know what? I'm going to re-audition for the BFA program. But in order to do that, it was going to take up more time, right? Because I'd be doing more acting, theater, stage, blah, blah, blah. And I was double majoring with education. So I remember having this talk with my mom. I was like, Mom, I need to go into the BFA program if I really want to do more acting, but then I won't have the time to double major. What should I do? And she was like, Sharon, God gives you dreams and visions for a reason. Don't run from it. And I was like, you're right. I'm going to audition for the BFA. So I did. I got in. And the rest is history. I actually scored my first professional gig while I was still in college.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So was stage what you wanted to pursue or was screen also in your dream?
Just wanted to do acting at that point in time. It was just acting. But stage was like the easiest way to get there in my mind, I guess. So I just went that route. And I loved it. I did it for 10 years, actually.
Oh, wow.
And I've been in the business now for about 20 years. So this last decade has been more camera work than stage. I mean, I don't know if you want me to get into all of that, but there's pros and cons.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, yeah. Actually, I'm very interested in that. I would love to know, like, I know some of the differences. For example, I grew up being on stages, and so I know that the presence on a stage, you have to fill up the stage, you know, big arm movements, and, you know, you got to be big.
Yeah.
You've got a lot of space to fill, right?
Exactly.
But then on camera, like even just learning how to do Zoom stuff, where I'm like, oh, I only have this small frame to work within, and I have to learn how to talk with my hands within this small frame.
Right, right.
And to have smaller facial expressions, because I was so used to having these big facial expressions.
Yeah.
So then when I go on Zoom, it's just like, holy cow, she's like a cartoon. So I know that, like, that's one of the major differences. But tell me more.
Yeah, I think you hit it on the nail with that. And I think some people are like, don't use the word big. But I'm like, yeah, you are. You're really being much bigger than what you need to be, because you need that person on the last row to feel your emotion. Mm-hmm. Apart from like the little technical things, which, by the way, don't feel bad if you think you look funny, because I'm still kind of big for for camera. Like, I'm like, bring it in. But, you know, I'm naturally animated too, so it doesn't really help my being small.
Me too.
But what really like encouraged me to make the switch was my family. So when you're doing stage, you're generally rehearsing for, well, if it's professional theater, you may rehearse for like 2 weeks if it's a straight play, but if it's a musical, it may take like a month of rehearsals. So you're dedicating all of this time to rehearsal, and then you're going to play for about another month after that, sometimes longer. So you've already dedicated 2 months of your time to this particular project. And so I have a husband, I have 3 young boys, and I was like, I can't just give all of my time away like that. So with film, television, a lot of times you're rehearsing the day of, like while you're on set, you're running the rehearsal and then you just shoot it and you're done. Sometimes they'll have rehearsals before, but if they do, it's not going to be like a whole month of rehearsals. It's just going to be a couple of days and you shoot it and you're done. And on top of that, the pay is, the scale, it's an astronomical difference. So I don't know, you may make, I'd say maybe a fifth of what you could make on TV or film versus what you would make on stage. So financially, that's just hard too when you have a family. So that was my major reason for switching. But yeah, they're definitely different mediums. And I do enjoy the more intimate, like you're right here. You can feel what I'm feeling right here. So I love them both.
Yeah. Yeah. They each have their pros and cons, like what you were saying. I was a musician most of the time that I was on stage, but sometimes acting. But yeah, I love how there's that connection with the audience, you know, where you can feel that they're right there with you and you can feel when you lose them.
Yeah.
You know?
I do miss
that. So what is that like when you're on set? Because I have not acted behind a camera, or in front of a camera, I guess is a better way of saying it. And so it's one of those things where I think I'm just so used to feeding off of the audience and working with the audience and rolling with that. Is there anything like that when you're on set?
Yes, it takes place with your scene partner. So like, when you're in the zone, it's such a beautiful feeling too. Like, I don't really know how to describe it, but it's like you're connected. I would use that word, like when you're super connected. So for me, and I don't know that that's true for everybody, but for me, I feel like a scene is working when I don't see the cameras, I don't see the director. It's just literally me and my scene partner or partners, and we're all connected, flowing, bouncing off of each other. And you can feel when it's off, or when you're self-conscious, when you're thinking about, oh, how did I say that line? Did it come out good? Like, that to me, I'm like, ah.
Yeah.
Now, I will say this, though. 9 times out of 10, well, I can't say 9 times out of 10, but just more often than you would think. Once you develop the craft, like if you become disconnected, but you still know how to flow through the scene, if you're not connected, you can sometimes watch a playback and it will look like you were in it, even though you weren't. So to you, you'll be like, that was horrible. But when you watch it, you're like, huh, that works. So that's all a part of training. So like, I do encourage people to like train, because you can find a way around it. But when you're connected, it almost always works, unless it's like some kind of technical difficulty.
Interesting.
Yeah. I remember the very first time I did camera work. Well, it wasn't the first time I did camera work, but the first time I did a TV show. It was called Army Wives back in 2011. And so actually that was more than a decade ago. We're in 24. Anyway, so we did Army Wives, and it was my first time doing a TV show with professional actors. And I remember like they were so intimate, like the two, there were 3 of us in a scene and 2 were series regulars, and they were so intimate and so soft spoken with each other. Like, I almost couldn't hear them, and I was right there. Mm-hmm. That I was like, this is what it is. That's like when the light bulb kind of went off. Okay, this is what it is. Just literally being intimate with each other and just not acting. You're just being. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's what I feel like. I feel mm-hmm. like camera work, you're really being. And I feel like stage, you should be being, which you can be being. But at the same time, you kind of have to act more just to get it out there.
Yes. I was at a film festival in September, and there was like some actors' tracks. They were doing exercises and stuff. And so I kind of got to listen in on a few things. And so then it got me kind of paying attention more when I was watching stuff. I was like, ooh, look at that character thinking, right? Like the actors making it look like they're really thinking. Of course they know what's going to happen next, but they look like they're experiencing it as if it's the first time. Like you could see them thinking.
Yeah.
Like, that's really good acting.
Yeah. It's amazing. I love it.
So, okay. I've also done voice acting, which is completely different because I narrate audiobooks. And so I'm literally by myself in a booth. And so I have no audience. And so that's something that I have to kind of experience in my own mind to create that. But basically when I'm doing it, because you still have to be in character. It doesn't matter if you're actually reading dialogue in the book or just reading stuff that's happening. You still have to be in a character that you create for the book. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of look at it like this is an exercise, like a super long monologue.
Yeah. For sure. It works. It pays when you're by yourself to really still picture who you're talking to or your audience and getting into that
mm-hmm.
character.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And it was funny because we switched over to this new technology. And so as I was recording it, the first time that I recorded, I forgot to hit audio only. And so it recorded my video as well. And man, I make a lot of faces. Uh-huh. Like there's all my stage faces right there.
Yeah.
Going into the book.
Good stuff.
Yeah, that's fun. It's a good time.
Do you have an award-worthy script ready to go out and face the world? Faith and Family Screenwriting Awards is in the final month of submissions for the summer 2024 season. Top prize? A table read with professional actors cast by Gene Wanger of Treasure Coast Talent. There are laurels available in 19 categories, and all participants get free bonus admission to our summer screenwriting bootcamp. Join online from anywhere. 3 90-minute screenwriting workshops all in one day. That alone is worth the cost of your submission fee. Final deadline is April 30th. Submit your script today for the Faith and Family Screenwriting Awards. Get the link in the show notes or find it at faffassociation.com.
Join us for the International Christian Film and Music Festival, where faith and creativity come to life. Watch over 150 inspiring films, rub shoulders with celebrities, connect with top-notch distributors, and learn from industry experts. Share in fellowship with like-minded Christians and savor a music showcase that will uplift your spirit. Experience the glamour of walking the red carpet and reveal in the extravagance of our awards ceremonies. Don't miss this divine celebration. Get your tickets now at www.internationalcff.com. It's time to be part of something truly special.
Okay, so let's talk about like how you pursue acting, but from a faith-based perspective.
Oh,
I know you spoke already a little bit about, you know, taking into consideration your family, and I know that that's part of it, but how do you go deeper with this beyond just it's a job and, you know, I'm balancing life?
Yeah, so before I jump into this, let me just say, and like everything I said before too, this is like Sharon's perspective, especially like with mm-hmm. the acting and the being. Some people will probably watch this and be like, no, that's not legitimate. You should, you know what I mean? Like it's just Sharon's perspective. I'm not saying it's all like 100% mm-hmm. correct. Okay, just want to put that out there.
Disclaimer.
Yeah, disclaimer. Yeah, so I knew... And I won't go into the testimony here, but I was born and raised a Christian. But there was a point in my life when I was 14 years old where I was having all kind of doubts. And God literally showed himself to me. And when he did that, I was like, I'm all in, like I'm dedicating my life to you. And one day I have to tell you that testimony. So mm-hmm. when I was studying theater in college and it was starting to get real, I remember just making a vow saying, God, I just really want to do this for you. And I want you to get the glory. I started off that way. And so to me, my way of honoring that was to make sure that I took roles that didn't disrespect or dishonor God. However, later on down the road, there was this quote that really like gripped me to my core. And it's from Anton LaVey. Anton LaVey is the founder of the Church of Satan. Mm-hmm. And he said, "Television is the major mainstream infiltration for the new satanic religion." And so it hit me like a ton of bricks, like, oh man, Satan is really using this medium or this media, all the media, for his kingdom. Am I helping him? And so I reflected back on like the roles, the productions that I had been a part of. And while my roles would be good, fine, some of the shows were not.
Right.
Like demonic in nature or just pretty much, you know, enveloping things that Christ wouldn't like,
right.
You know, encouraging, you know, murder, lying, stealing, adultery, all this stuff, right? So I was like,
oh. Yeah, that's a bit of a sobering thought.
Yes. And I won't say that I got it perfect, but like once it hit me, I was like, no, I really want to do things that honor you. So I would like then start to ask for the scripts. Because before I wouldn't even ask for the scripts. If my part looked good, it was good. But ask for the scripts and see the overall meaning. So was this going to point people to God or was it going to point people towards Satan?
Yeah, even if it doesn't specifically say or have a faith message, there are certain characteristics or qualities that are going to point one way or the other. Is it going to point toward the heart of God or toward the aim of Satan? And so something about forgiveness or, you know, family unity or something like that. That's something on God's heart.
Exactly.
It may not specifically mention God, but it's something that God can respect.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's been my approach as of late. And it's just been so rewarding, so honoring. And I get like a lot of emails and stuff from people that I don't know. And just to see like his power come through, how they can see past our production to God. And I'm like, that's what it's all about. Like, that's why I'm doing what I'm doing. So yeah, I don't take it lightly. The scripture is in Matthew, I believe. I forget the exact scripture. I think it's quoted in several of the gospels. So it might be in Matthew and Luke. I can't remember. But it talks about like, it would be better for a millstone to be hung around your neck and you drown into the sea than to cause one of my little ones to stumble. And I'm like,
That's a big responsibility.
Not wanting to like point people towards the enemy. I just really don't want to do it. And I know, and again, this is not everybody's take. I've actually had several discussions with people that I respect who are Christians in the industry, and they will take a part in something that I won't, like they'll do it in a heartbeat where I'm like, I can't do it. Like I would love the money, but I can't do it. So I'm not, I'm not like trying to throw my convictions on them. But I remember having this great conversation with this woman who is a strong woman of God. And she was like, yeah, Sharon, if you don't do it, somebody else is going to get the role. So why not you do it? You can go in there and be a light. You can shine. And then the money that you get paid, you can put towards the projects that you're doing for the kingdom. And all of that like kind of made sense to me. Right. But then as I was like, all right. Maybe I'm going to try it. It was like I had this vision. It was like me in a stagehand, and we were like stirring a pot, right? It was like a witch's pot, one of those big, what do you call those big cauldrons, I believe is what it's called. And I was like ministering to the stagehand and they were receiving, you know, receiving what I had to say. But then we were taking like the poison out of the pot and serving it to the people. And I was like, oh, for me, I can't do that. So that's not for me. Like not my specific calling. So for somebody else, they may be free to, but but I'm not free to do that. So
I think the most important thing is to really think through, you know, think it through and make an intentional decision and not just kind of end up being involved in something without having thought it through. Because I think art is very different than just your typical job, you know, anything of an artistic nature, because you're engaging with something that's beyond just the understood physical realm. Like art is something that connects beyond. It connects on a deeper level than we can actually fully understand. Like, why is it that I can look at a painting and it doesn't move me at all, but somebody else can look at it and they're like in tears? Or I can, you know, play a song for someone and it'll move them emotionally, although for different reasons than what I wrote it for. Like art is one of those things that connects with people in a way that's very different from just a typical connection. And so I think anytime somebody has a career in the arts, it's important to have that awareness and, you know, make decisions intentionally, like instead of just ending up, well, I did this and then, you know, and then I did that and then I did that and not really thinking through like, well, what did all of those things mean?
Yeah.
Where did they go? What was their goal? What was, you know, what did that end up reaching? And, you know, the same way that the man you mentioned, I just don't want to mention his name again. I know it, but I'm once is enough. But, you know, he's correct in the sense of like at least recognizing the power that media can have. Mm. And that's why we're on this side, because God's not just figuring it out now. You know, like he already knows the power of all of this, the power of art. I mean, he gave us creativity.
Yeah.
It was his idea. It was what he gave to us. So I do believe that we are meant to pursue the arts mm-hmm. and to use the gifts that he's given us for his glory and understand that it's going to be so far reaching. We don't even know the people that right. we can touch.
Before we finish up this portion of our interview, I'd like to invite you to go deeper in our discussion with Sharon Lanier in part two, our exclusive members episode. How are your emotions manipulated when you're watching TV and film? How strongly do you believe that media has the power to influence and shape morality and culture? In this exclusive members episode, Jacqueline continues her discussion with Sharon Lanier. Find out what happened when this actress stopped focusing on her dream and focused on the dream giver. Sharon will also share her journey of choosing roles that align with her faith. The decisions are not always easy, especially when the writing can change a few episodes in, and your character may do or say things that you never signed up for. You can hear Sharon's bonus episode and continue receiving these exclusive episodes going forward by becoming a supporting member. $5 a month helps support the production of this podcast and doubles the inspiring content you receive every week. Sign up now and get the first month free. You can find the link in the show notes or simply go to faffpodcast.com/support.
Like I recorded songs years ago and they're out on internet radio stations somewhere. I don't even know where they're being played anymore. I kind of just gave people permission. Yeah, do what you want with it.
Uh-huh.
It was kind of my first fruits offering of my arts, you know, mm-hmm. where I was just like, God, wherever you want to take it, just go with it. But I don't even know who's listened to my songs, how it's affected their lives. And I won't know until I meet them in the kingdom. And mm-hmm. they say, you know, that song came to me when I really needed it and I appreciate it. But I'm not going to know that in this life.
Yeah.
And it's the same with film. We just don't know how far reaching it's going to be, no matter which side we're on.
Amen.
So I hear you. I agree with you. I feel the same.
Amen. That is beautiful. There's so many things I want to say off of what you just said, but I won't because I'm already long-winded.
Well, you know what? We've got part two of this interview. We're actually going to wrap up this one right now, and then we're going to head into our members-only portion, and we can totally dig into this.
Okay, cool,
yes.
Cool.
Let's do it.
Awesome.
Okay. All right. So do you have any last thoughts for our listeners in this particular interview?
Yeah, I would just say, like, whatever you're doing, whether it's in the arts or not, just always put God first and he'll direct you and he'll show you. And sometimes other people's convictions are not necessarily yours. But as long as you put God first, he'll show you how to honor him, what he wants you to do. There's a scripture where Paul talks about eating meat. It's in Romans 14, where there was a debate among the Christians as to whether or not eating meat was pleasing to the Lord. And Paul states, and it's verse 23, but whoever has doubts is condemned if they eat, because their eating is not from faith. And everything that does not come from faith is sin. Right. So he was basically saying if a person's faith mm-hmm. didn't allow them to eat meat, but they ate it anyway, then they would be sinning.
And that would be sin.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Because it's rebellion.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So that's why it's important to just always, I don't care what area of your life it is, just put it before God. Let him speak to you mm-hmm. and you do what he tells you to do. Not what you mm-hmm. tell yourself to do, though. You got to remember, like, not,
right.
not really seriously seek him.
Yes. Oh, thank you so much. I'm excited to talk to you more in the members only portion of this interview. But thank you so much for sharing everything that you have with our listeners today. And we'll see you in the next one.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Faith and Family Filmmakers Podcast. If you would like email reminders about newly released episodes and more, please sign up at faffpodcast.com/email. That's faffpodcast.com/email. Bringing filmmakers together for faith and family.
That's a wrap.